Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds.
Well, now please welcome DFAN's Counselor for Embassy of Latvia to the United Kingdom and our moderator, Mihails Potapovs, and his panel.
Thank you. Thank you, Valdis. Dear friends and colleagues, we are here today because cybersecurity is no longer a niche concern. It is a foundational issue for every sector, every institution, and every citizen, as we heard today during the opening plenary already. And I would like to thank the Tech Vittori Forum for the opportunity to host this special session. This session really is special because we are launching the first ever academic book on Latvia's cybersecurity. It is the result of a two-year research conducted by 21 outstanding researchers from Latvia and abroad. And the research is interdisciplinary, meaning that we look at Latvia's cybersecurity ecosystem, we explore it from different perspectives and different approaches. This book is not just about Latvia. It is about building resilient digital societies in an increasingly hostile cyber environment. And first of all, I would like to thank my dear co-editor, Kate, and all the contributors of this book for their excellent contributions. I would also like to thank all the institutions that supported this research, notably the European Cybersecurity Competence Center, the Ministry of Defense of the Republic of Latvia, and the Cyber Incident Response Institution, CERT-LV. Now, let's bring the insights from the book to life with an exceptional group of experts who contributed to it, and let's start by introducing them. On my left is Kate Elisabetta Kanasta, who is a counselor of the Ministry of Defense to the European Union. Kate has an extensive experience working in the cybersecurity domain before. She was responsible for drafting the Latvia's national cybersecurity strategy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Then we have Dr. Bernhards Blumbergs, who is a lead cybersecurity expert at CERT-LV, Latvia's national cybersecurity cyber incident response institution, which is part of a newly established national cybersecurity center. Then we have Dr. Rūta Pirta, who is associate professor at Riga Technical University and a senior researcher with expertise in cybersecurity education and training, but not only. And last but not least, we have Sigita Struberga, who is the Secretary General of the Latvian Transatlantic Organization and a lecturer at the University of Latvia. Welcome.
Thank you.
And to set the scene, my first question will be to Bernhards. Could you please describe the current cybersecurity landscape in Latvia and Europe? What types of threats are most pressing today from your perspective as a technical expert?
Right, so ENISA released also the threat landscape for 2025 just recently at the beginning of the cybersecurity month here in Europe as well. And we're, as a national CERT, we're releasing our regular update, so I'll just do a quick merger of those both to present the key kind of components for the landscape. And I have to narrow it down, then the three major parts are the hacktivism, the cybercrime, and state-affiliated threat actors. Now, those are not something that you would say, hey, this is something new. This is something that we've been dealing with already for, let's say, at least 10, 15 years, or even more, depends on the sector that you're in. Now, the threat actors that are going to be played out here are, at least for us as Latvians, it's either directly or indirectly affiliated to the Russian Federation. This is not a huge surprise. However, when we look at the global, more global perspective at the European Union level, there are attacks from the North Korea, there are attacks from China as well, so we are there on their landscape as well as a target. Now, what do we expect? What is there that we are experiencing the most as Latvians and as Europeans? So I would say the hacktivism, either being sponsored by the nation state actors or by cyber criminals, they would resolve to conducting a huge campaigns of distributed denial of service attacks. This has been, Europe has been seeing this and is an increased trend over the last 3-4 years since the beginning of full-scale invasion in Ukraine. This is where critical infrastructure and also private entities are being hit and targeted all the time by the massive denial of service attacks. Like regular citizens would be suffering from the phishing, which is constitutes about 60% of how the attackers gain access, so to either governmental employees or just to the regular citizens of Europe and Latvia as well. Now, we've seen CAPTCHA-styled phishing where you need to solve a particular CAPTCHA, and to solve it, you need to execute commands on your computer, and if you execute those commands, attackers get access to your device. We've seen fake AI tools. You want to have something installed on your system that will help you utilize the power of machine learning, you need to install this tool, and as soon as you install it, your system is being turned into a machine that is being used by the cyber criminals. For the cyber crime, we're seeing scamming. I mean, this is nothing new. There are fake calls, there are fake advertisements that pretend to be investment scams. They will impersonate usually the well-known people around the Europe or in the regionally in Latvia as well, and they'll try to advertise you, hey, you need to invest here, and there's a link where you go and you click and you get started to being phished. There's SMS phishing, especially here in Latvia. There's and the holiday season is coming up, so we will absolutely going to see more phishing through the SMS or smishing that will tell you that there is a delivery of packages coming up, or there is something being delayed, or your payments are required. So that is something that we're going to see more and more. Now, as a last thing, for the state-affiliated threat actors, I mean, doesn't mean that they cannot engage in hacktivism or cybercrime. They absolutely do. So these state-affiliated threat actors most likely will be engaged in conducting foreign information and influence operations, trying to sway the minds of the people here. The most attacked sectors, according to ENISA, is public administration, so government and decision-making, transportation, telecommunications, and finances, mostly related to the banks. Now, this mostly will correlate to the denial of service attacks that have been increased. However, outdated mobile devices, opportunistic scanning for vulnerabilities will be there. So unpatched systems or lately patched systems will be falling as a target. Now, this gives a very quick summary, a rush through the European and Latvian cyber threat landscape.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bernhard. Cyber threats are no longer just a technical issue, as we understand. They increasingly shape also international affairs and impact geopolitical balances. And my question is for Kate. How do cyber operations influence the power dynamics between states, and how are these threats affecting the way we think about deterrence and alliances?
I think it's very clear that the cyber threats nowadays, they definitely extend beyond any individual, organization, or even one country. And I don't think I have to convince anyone in this room that it's not something that affects only a niche group of people or niche sectors. And one of the very noticeable recent examples happened actually just last month. Some of you might notice that some of the European airports experienced some technical troubles in Brussels Airport, which I frequently use, still even 2 weeks after the cyber attack on the external service provider. All the flight boarding process was done manually, even 2 weeks later. So it's not something that only cyber experts experience or the companies in cyber domain. It's the everyday citizens that experience this. And we see these type of things quite regular. We see commercially or politically motivated malicious cyber activities. And we even see cyber attacks as part of larger military campaigns, as we see in Russia's war against Ukraine. And in many of these cases, it's not something that is contained to either a single company, a single region, or even sometimes single country or sector. And it has larger spillover effect, and it means that it might not be enough for either a company or nation state to combat these things on their own or face these threats. And I do believe that in the last decade or so, we actually have made significant progress when it comes to international cooperation to combat these threats. And one thing is that I think among like-minded states, we do have somewhat a unified view what is considered appropriate behavior in cyberspace. Or in other words, we have established some norms. And with various level of success, we have tried to enforce these norms. There are some good examples. Of course, a lot more we can see on the EU level. We do have things like the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime, which provides the legal framework. It actually helps share even practical evidence when combating cybercrime and bring justice to these malicious cyber actors. We have some examples of new at the nations level. We have the group of governmental experts, and they try to foster dialogue among nations and advocate for such norms, for example, as it's not appropriate to attack another state's critical infrastructure in cyber realm. So we have these examples. We have more proactive things, more proactive joint collaboration efforts. For example, the EU cyber diplomacy toolbox. And one of the things that is included there is the sanctions. And currently, restrictive measures apply to, I think, around 17 individuals and 4 entities. And this list might not seem very long if you think about it, but at the same time, you have to take into account, as probably many of you know, how complex is the attribution process. It's not only about the technical evidence gathering and the proof that a specific actor is responsible or involved in a cyber activity. It's also about the political cost that comes with it, comes with the information sharing, and comes with definitely the public communication around it. And then we have to think about it not just about the specific fact, we have to think about larger strategic policy of either even sometimes a company, but definitely with the nation states or organizations. So this is one of the challenges that we still see almost as an obstacle to sometimes deepen the cooperation efforts. But then we, of course, have some very, very practical things how we still almost include it as an everyday policies, either on governmental level or EU or NATO level. We do have some very practical examples with, for example, NIS2 directive. It's sometimes even targeting the level of cybersecurity practices we have nationally, but we have in public and private sector. It's a push for nations to do themselves better and sometimes even collaborate with other states between some networks. And of course, we do have some specific formats where even in NATO we can request help, either practical level or sharing the information on some threat actors. So I do say that a lot of these activities have actually been established in just last few years, and we are building on top of them almost, I would say, every half a year. Either there are some additional things that we have in the legislation format, or we deepen the cooperation between the nations themselves. So I think nowadays cyber is something that is not separate from any policy, not, as you mentioned, the turns or the power politics. It just has become a significant element of our existing processes. So we don't talk about specific activities just in the cyberspace. We do consider them a part of either it's our military strategies, it's our civilian strategies. We just have to take into account as one element that is integrated in every single thing.
Thank you. I fully agree with you regarding that. Cyber has become not a niche area, but it has become an area interconnected in all the different areas, civilian, military, in all the different levels. Also, we often say that cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility, meaning the state institutions, different organizations, public sector, private sector, and so on, need to do their job in order to for us to live in a more digitally secure world. My next question is for Sigita. How resilient is Latvian society in terms of cybersecurity? Are our communities, local institutions, and citizens prepared to handle the growing cyber threats?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for question and thank you for having me here. So I will start with a bit different point. So we started to research societal security as such quite a while ago. And one of the conclusions we had already, I think, in 2016 was that the perception between individuals and the perception between decision makers or those who implement policies are slightly different. And I must say that in here, I see the same challenge when it comes to cybersecurity-related issues. And although I'm quite optimistic about the future, we have several issues to be solved. First of all, if we look on the national level, of course, exit point should be understanding that security as such, including cybersecurity, is nothing to be fixed. So we will never say that we have finished the process and now we are secure. It is never-ending process of building security. Second, if we look back what has been done, so our role in Latvia, we can say that there is quite strong normative framework, the same goes to institutional framework, but quite much it is based still on a top-down approach, which is understandable, but then there should be the next steps. And in order to look on this framework also, what we did in the article, we looked on the policy planning documents. And what we see is that even in this top-down approach, the society as such is mentioned not that much. So basically, quite often, this is just one of the examples, but quite often what we see is that society is rather seen as passive receiver and not active contributor. But if you want to build full-fledged resilience, you need to see society as active contributor. By the way, I have questions whether our society members also see themselves often as active contributors, but this is another issue. So second is communities level. And I must say that looking on municipalities, if you look on municipalities in Latvia, you see that, again, there are differences. In some municipalities, you see that in several documents, cyber threats are being mentioned, etc. So you have a glimpse in their certain plans. But at the same time, there are municipalities where cyber threats are not recognized as threats at all. And if we go deeper into engagement with communities, then the situation is even less optimistic. Because in main part, what you see of municipalities, what you see that there is no plans at the moment. There is no plan to have active engagement with society regarding dealing with cyber threats. And also, till the last week, I was even more optimistic, but last week I had, thinking of new projects, we had a Zoom call with quite high-educated regional activists who are very much into building resilience, etc. But as soon as our conversation came to the digital security and cybersecurity, the questions they asked reminded me how much we live in our bubbles, including here today. The level of discussions we have here today is totally a different bubble from what we have if we will go out and ask people. And basically, the Zoom call demonstrated it very well because a high-educated person asked me, in the region, she asked me, you know, I still want to learn how not to donate to this small little girl which I saw in Facebook. So we need to think of active engagement to improve those skills that people do not donate to fake Facebook girls, or they do not buy in fake e-shops, etc. And as it was mentioned by first speaker, especially now before Christmas time or whatever, so any celebration, there will be new waves of this type of actually illegal activities, and the level of responsiveness in our society actually demonstrates how weak we are at this level. And that's why we really need to put emphasis on more active engagement with individuals, taking them serious as active contributors, but it means also active learning together and crossing the borders of the bubbles we live. Otherwise, we can sit here and be super proud how great strategies we have, how great technologies we have, and how great we digitalize our governance. Cool. But what is the next? And I will stop here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think you've raised a very important question of skills and, of course, skills within the general population. We will return to this question a little bit later during today's discussion. But let's turn to human capital concerning the cybersecurity professionals. My next question is to Ruta. How is Latvia doing in preparing the cybersecurity professionals of tomorrow, the next generation of our experts? What are the challenges and strengths of the Latvian cybersecurity education and training system?
Yes, thank you for the question. It's nothing new that in Latvia we have quite a huge gap of cybersecurity specialists. It's the same situation as in Europe and also worldwide. So that means that we need to really think now how actually to get those specialists. And here I would like to look on two main groups. So the first one is cybersecurity specialists and cybersecurity education. And the second is other area specialists who still need to get the cybersecurity competences. So if you are looking on the first group, so currently cybersecurity education for specialists, I would say, is mainly led by non-professional education, different programs. We can find a lot of different shorter-term, even longer-term programs. I would say that this is good for the specialists who would like to upskill, for example, to the news they acknowledge, or to reskill from really similar areas, for example, from IT sector as IT administrators and other similar roles. From other viewpoint, if you're looking on the formal education perspective of Latvia, then it's this provision is kind of small. We have few academical study programs who are providing cybersecurity as a main topic. And I think in Latvia it was about four. And it's importantly to also to note that we don't have currently a bachelor degree in cybersecurity. So there are some initiatives coming on, but currently we don't have it. And also we don't have a doctoral studies for cybersecurity, but also limit us on cybersecurity research strengthening in Latvia. And this situation actually also lead us to the situation that we are mainly upskilling, reskilling specialists, but we are lacking mechanisms how to actually provide the new specialists, ones who just finalized the school and would like to already jump in cybersecurity topics. And other important thing is the other group, so it's non-cybersecurity specialists, but currently we cannot kind of divide, I am cybersecurity specialist, you are not, because it's actually our joint responsibility. For example, human resources, personnel management, they all actually need to know how to deal with cybersecurity things. For example, if incident occurs, if employee did something wrong. So it's a wider thing. And on that perspective, in Latvia, in other study programs than IT or cybersecurity, we found maybe two study programs out of hundreds that include courses in cybersecurity, just a cyber hygiene or something like that. That means that here we need to really think how to integrate the cybersecurity basics in different study programs, because as we remember, everybody is responsible about cybersecurity, and also the management needs to understand and commit to that.
Thank you. Bernhard, from CERTLV's operational perspective, what are the most critical skills and competencies you expect from cybersecurity professionals today? Where do you see the biggest gaps?
Oh, I will turn it from my own perspective, my own prism, right? So the most critical part that I think is critical thinking, and this is what we're lacking currently, and this is what we're searching for. And this is not only being bolstered by the curiosity and breaking things, but also being capable of failing. In cybersecurity, you need to fail. You need to fail a lot until you are, and you need to fail fast, so that you find that one solution that works. Cyberspace is created by humans. Cyberspace is not perfect. It can be only understood by humans. It can be only broken and only fixed by humans. And cybersecurity is a very broad area. So there are specialists in every direction that we required. Now, when we look at the prism of CERTLV, and we're more specifically at the technical capabilities that we're building, we would do, and I think, what we require is the data scientists. We require engineers, we require hardware and firmware engineers, because of the current overwhelming load of the data that we have to process when we're dealing with incidents, there is a ton of volumes of data that we need to analyze, either it's a network, either it's a system log files. It doesn't matter if it's your personal data, if it is open source intelligence, if that is information space, if that everything is aggregated together, a human analyst needs to understand the technology underneath it. It's not only about blindly trusting the technology will solve the problems, but understanding inherent problems and the strengths of the technology that are being used. So this is what I think about what we required.
Thank you. Katte, in your experience with the Latvia's national cybersecurity strategy, how does it aim to tackle the competence gap? And more broadly, how can national strategies help future-proof our cybersecurity ecosystem?
Thank you for the question, and I'm happy to say that a lot of us mentioned what are the needs, actually, much as what we set out in the current strategy, which actually covers the period from 2023 till 2026, so it's already well underway, the implementation of the strategic goals set out at the beginning of 2023. And I think that the way how I can describe how we set these goals and how we tackle the question of skills and competences, we also thought in different groups. And one of the groups that Ruth specifically also mentioned is already existing cybersecurity professionals. And it's a question of upskilling. It's the question of filling those specific professional needs that we have in the market, especially in now with the NIS2 directive requirements. We saw that there was a huge gap of the professionals we needed in specific positions. So it was a question to strategically already think not only in, well, back in 2023, not think only about the current existing needs, but the future needs, how we can provide some courses, how we can engage with other institutions who would help with that, and all of this. So this is the part about the existing professionals. And of course, also just to even keep them motivated, keep them in the loop of the newest activities is also the question of even sometimes the community and networking. So there comes the cybersecurity competence community that was also established now already. I think it's, I believe, it could be 3 years ago already. Mm-hmm. So another strategic goal of the strategy. Then a different group is well, those future cybersecurity professionals, so the question of recruitment. In the strategy, I think we already started to think about that from very early age, so it's already school-age kids. So sometimes it's simple awareness raising about cybersecurity as potential profession, because not everybody in the first or second grade already thinks that maybe that could be something that they could see in their future. But also, it's again the same community aspect. It's different seminars, conferences. You know, well, also the conference organized by MOD and CERTLV, the Cyber Chess, which brings together a lot of the industry professionals or potential future professionals. And then we have the group which are the non-specialists, so either everyday citizens. Those are different societal groups. We have the children, we have the youth, we have the senior citizens, we have government and employees, we have even researchers. And a lot of time it's simply about awareness raising. It's about good cyber hygiene practices. We know, also mentioned before by previous speakers, it comes definitely together with the societal resilience question. And a lot of this comes back down to one, just informational campaigns. Maybe a lot of our Latvian audience members have noticed that one of the recent campaigns, Ošpēc Hēmas, which I think gained a lot of traction online, a good way how to grab your attention and maybe make you think about more about the very basics of things, about potential loss you could actually experience even money-wise. And then it could be other ways, not only the informational campaigns, but also sometimes the institutional cooperation, because cybersecurity, cybercrime, all of these things also come together. There's just a digital environment. Sometimes it goes together with child safety online. So this is also the informal exchanges between the institutions we have tried to set out as one of the objectives to reach during this period. I know that a lot of these things actually have been implemented. We have seen some measurable results. We have, of course, some are harder to measure because awareness raising is not something so easy to understand. It's more of a long-term process. You can, in Fourier's perspective, see whether there's a difference of even like basic cyber competences or the behavior online. But also, this is the period where actually the new strategic objectives will be set quite soon, and I'm sure that my colleagues, Minister of Defense, already are working for the future cybersecurity strategy. So I hope that in these 4 years we actually have managed to achieve quite a lot, and been a lot of changes, but also building up already existing things. And I hope that the next strategic period actually will be able to reach even more ambitious goal.
Thank you. It sounds like Latvia's cybersecurity strategy is very comprehensive, but of course, every strategy is only as strong as its implementation. And my next question is for Sigita. How do we ensure that national priorities translate into tangible action at the community level? How can we bridge this gap between high-level policy and grassroots engagement?
Mm-hmm. First of all, we should remember that behind all strategies, all great intentions, all political rhetorics and laws, there is person, and person should be in the center. This is what I always also try to tell my students when we speak of war or whatever. We should remember there is human being, person, individual, and we have to have this human-centric approach, first of all. But then, of course, if we look from starting from national level, then, of course, first of all, from strategies, rhetorics, legislation, etc., we have to, and all the great intentions, actually, we have to go down and think of building really ecosystem as such. And then, what does it mean? It means that there should be synergy between state or government, governance, and people. And here, there is one great weakness we have here in Latvia, and actually it's not only a Latvian problem, but in Latvia you can see that it's a huge issue. It is lack of trust to governmental institutions. If you look on numbers,
we are in really bad shape. And then if you lack trust, how do you build those synergies between individuals and state? Imagine if in case of crisis, less than a third is ready to cooperate with our government. So how are we going to build those synergies? So then, of course, quite a lot was said, but I just have to repeat that we have to go from technologies to the competencies and culture. And it is nowadays we quite a lot speak of culture of preparedness. So I would say that we have to speak also about culture of cybersecurity in general. And you know, when I'm filling my tests of workspace safety, I'm missing more extended chapters on cybersecurity measures. I have a huge chapter on how to sit in an ergonomic manner. I have the guideline that I can't burn candle in my workplace. Fine, but let's put more extended stuff on cybersecurity. And it does not cost much, actually. And this brings me to the next point, which is related to business. If we look on Eurostat data, then in Latvia, basically only 20% businessmen, small and medium enterprises, see the importance of the training. And usually the reasoning, what is mentioned, we don't have resources, etc. But does really the kind of primary training or reminding to your employees about cybersecurity cost a lot? Not really. It's just a matter of mindset, which we need to change. And the same goes to people themselves. And this is very much about the individual responsibility. What I'm missing in Latvia, again, quite a lot, because basically we are used as nation, we are used to blame government, to blame EU, to ask whether NATO is going to defend us. But as soon as it comes to our individual responsibility, here we don't have such a huge list of demands to ourselves as we have to others. So, and this is all about changing mindset. This is all about having this different culture of preparedness, if you wish. So then I could conclude with, since Mr. Melder started, whether we are big or small. So our one of the great writers said we are as big as our will is. So I think we just have to work on our will.
Thank you. Thank you. It's I think you've raised very important questions. And my next question is to Ruta, looking ahead. How can we ensure that our training programs are evolving with the threat landscape, and how do we expand the cyber literacy beyond just the technical specialists, but to a broader society?
Yes, sir. So first of all, I would like to present actually what we discovered during our research regarding the cybersecurity specialists in Latvia. So in Latvia perspective, cybersecurity specialists are more like human orchestra. If you are looking on ANISA cybersecurity competence framework, they are distinguishing 12 roles. NIST NICE framework are talking about 50 different roles. So in Latvian situation, actually, it's one or maybe few persons in the best cases who are dealing with all cybersecurity operations. And that's why we need to consider it a really broad skill set for that. And besides that, there is also a lot of like related research and industry expectations. As my colleague already mentioned, that it's not only technical skills. It's soft skills, it's critical thinking, it's system thinking, it's risk awareness. So the cybersecurity specialist of future needs to be with really high skill set. And what we could do in Latvia, so first one, what colleagues already mentioned, is to start very early in kindergarten, in the school, to integrate some basic cyber hygiene related topics, and then on the higher level, more specialize on cybersecurity, different role related things. Also really important is good cooperation between the educators, between policymakers, and between the industry. So industry needs to also provide the feedback loop, how well they see that new specialists are prepared to work. And also really important from industry perspective is that they are taking new specialists in internship. Because currently a lot of organizations are expecting already established specialists with experience, but this is not how we will get the new specialists in the market available. And the last thing is actually about more coordinating of these different cybersecurity education initiatives. So we would need to have like one virtual university or one coordination center where actually different stakeholder groups could look like how to upskill, how to become a cybersecurity specialist and so on. And the last thing that I wanted to mention, we really need to focus on underrepresented groups, what is a woman, and also what is specialists outside the capital city, like in the regions, because we have a great potential there. So it's also about awareness, about endorsement, that basically we can become everything that we want, just we need to put effort on that.
Thank you very much. And before we jump to the Q&A session, I would like to remind the audience that the book Cybersecurity in Latvia, Forging Resilience Amidst Emerging Threats is available online. The electronic version of the book is available free of charge. You can read it. It's an open access publication on the Routledge website. You just type in the name of the book and you will find it quite easily. And I would like to ask Valdis if there are any questions.
Yes, so the reminder, please scan QR code if you have one, or just go to Slido, and the code is policy stage. But the question is, Sigita was mentioning also that resilience is all together, institutions and public. And from public side, there's a little question. Are institutions and government doing at least something or enough? Because, for example, in other industries, like a week ago, there was a Baltic Real Estate Leaders Forum. And one of the questions from the audience was, we're so small. You know, aggressor will just walk over us, and is it worth investing in Latvia? So the perception is that we are not ready. How do we communicate our readiness to the public? How much can we tell about it? Because if public feels that we are helpless, they will not even budge doing anything more.
So does the government do at least anything? I think yes, government does, and we have this top-down approach, and the info campaign which was mentioned by Kate, I just love it. It's amazing. Those guys are really creative who made this campaign. But there is one but, and it in a way it responds to your question. We should understand that awareness does not necessarily bring resilience. And this is important. And this is what we quite often forget. And it goes not only to cybersecurity. We can speak the same about disinformation, etc. To have information campaign does not necessarily mean behavioral change. And this is a much deeper conversation then. How to get this behavioral change? First of all, I think next to the cyber skills teaching starting from kindergarten, we have to remind and remind about individual responsibility. Because we have a lot of discussions about rights in democracy, but we don't have the discussions about your duties, about your responsibility in society, and responsibility to defend your country, to be a responsible citizen, is one of the cores, if you think of democracy as such. If you don't have this, if you have only rights and you have no responsibilities towards yourself, towards your country, then of course we are weak and aggressor will take us easy. And this is very much Russian narrative, right? So we are weak, we are small, and let's even don't try to defend ourselves. No, there has been done a lot at the level of NATO, what Kate mentioned, at national level, which was mentioned here quite a lot as well. So are we able to tell all the details? No, but at the same time, what we are able to is to raise more and more discussions on the responsibility part.
Because the feeling from public side is like they're left alone with scammers, with, you know, crooks who are just using their vulnerabilities. Like banks are not doing enough, mobile operators are not doing enough, you know, so many SIM cards being used for scammers. So the feeling is that public is left alone. So fight your own fight, learn your skills, nothing we can do.
I think it's in a way some kind of heritage of Soviet Union. You know, before coming to this stage, I just Googled. I Googled to look what we have on cybersecurity or individual level, just to have a glimpse. We have so many programs you can upgrade on your telephone. We have this and that. We have information campaigns from national level. So what does it mean that you are left alone? So what else do we need? Do we need to take everyone by hand and tell do this and that? In a way, yes. But it will not still solve the issue with this feeling of being left alone.
Okay.
This is another level. There are things we have not done in sufficient manner. We continue to do. But to expect that all society members will feel like government has taken all the care, it will never happen.
Thank you. Anything to add?
Oh, so yeah, from my side, just the last 15 seconds, right? So as a national cert, our aim is to make Latvia a harder target. And that's what we're dealing with and doing every single day through all the comprehensive different actions that we do against and together with our partners in the government and public and private sector, right? And our allies are learning from us on a daily basis and applying the lessons that we learn together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Which would be a country we could learn resilience from? Finland? There's one question also.
Oh,
like
well,
cybersecurity resilience.
I mean, allies are learning from us.
Really? For
oh,
example,
yes. Oh,
what we are the most proud of?
Oh, we're most proud of our threat hunting operations that we do together with our framework nation of a multinational brigade here operated by the Canadians.
Mm. All right. Thank you. Well, there are many more questions, but I guess we spent our time. And please use the opportunity to speak to our experts and speakers and panelists. And round of applause to Mikhail, our moderator for this panel.